Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator, Orange County, New York Paranormal, and welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. If you're new to the festivities, please subscribe, rate, and review. We're on all your favorite podcast platforms. And there's also a video version of this that airs on our Facebook and YouTube channel. And if you haven't been there, we also post all of our investigation videos and pretty much our entire journey on our Facebook page, also on Instagram. So if you haven't checked that out yet, please do. You know, tell your friends. It's great to see. We have every week we seem to have more and more new listeners, which is fantastic. So thank you for those of you who are new to the show and for those of you who've been with us the whole time. It's been a great ride so far, and that's kind of a theme we're going to get into as we talk about today's couple of topics about the journey, because definitely celebrating a milestone this week. And what is that milestone? This week marks the 5-year anniversary of the first ever investigation we did as Orange County, New York Paranormal. Emily and I have been did a lot of paranormal stuff before that, but when we branched out, we decided to go for it, and 5 years ago this week. So last episode, we talked about the one-year anniversary of the podcast. This week, I want to talk a little bit about what we've learned along the way and, you know, just some thoughts for the first 5 years of this. And for anybody who's an aspiring paranormal investigator, some advice and some thoughts to not make a lot of the same mistakes that we made. And trust me, we made them all. So, but first, before I get into that, I wanted to talk about something that current events have put at the front of my mind. So about a week and a half ago, Friday morning, I'm sitting right here in my office, and the whole room starts to shake. which it took me a minute, because, you know, first thought is, okay, what are my neighbors doing? But no, the whole house shook. If you're watching this on video, some of the figurines behind me fell over. And it turned out that a 4.8 magnitude earthquake hit New Jersey, not that far from where we live. And for those of us who live here in New York, the earthquake was like the fourth or fifth thing that crossed our mind, because we don't get a lot of that. I mean, for those of you listening out on the West Coast and in California, a 4.8 magnitude earthquake, I mean, that's called a Tuesday. We don't get that here, and a lot of aftershocks and all that. But then what happened was, a couple of days after that, we were right in the path of the solar eclipse. So here we go. Everybody started making connections, and oh my goodness, I heard some wild ones. Religious connections, spiritual connections, political connections to an earthquake and a solar eclipse. 2024, everybody. But there is scientific research going on that suggests that earthquakes and the moon can be connected to affecting tectonic activity, which is what causes earthquakes. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I don't even know enough about that to begin to talk intelligently about that. But what I want to talk about based on those events is, why does it seem like everything has to be something in today's world? And of course, given the nature of this show, which is to talk about the paranormal, this kind of thing happens in the paranormal world all the time. It seems like there's a lot of effort made to jump to make connections to things without any proof that they're actually connected. And it's probably, I mean, mainly because people want them to be. And the paranormal TV shows do this all the time. The one that always strikes me is when they try to claim weather is part of some spiritual conspiracy to stop them from investigating. If I don't watch a lot of paranormal TV now, but I remember that the show Ghost Adventures was very, very guilty of this all the time. If there was a flood, the spirits were trying to stop them from coming there. If no matter what it was, there was some conspiracy in the spiritual realm that was trying to prevent them from investigating. I remember one time, like, the clouds looked like a set of eyeballs, and they tried to make that, connect that to the spirits. I have no idea. But again, we make connections out of things that probably aren't connected. A lot of times in the paranormal world too, we try to connect things, and we try to label things as paranormal that actually have nothing to do with the paranormal. It just random occurrences that can happen. And, you know, some people and locations, they think everything that happens there is paranormal. My favorite all-time example of this is the Worcester Inn toilet. And I know it's an odd way of putting it, but it's a great example of just assuming that everything is something in the paranormal world. This was in the newspaper, by the way. You can Google this. It was a newspaper article. The local paper in Worcester, New York, did an article about this so-called haunted toilet. And by the way, Worcester Inn, one of the most haunted locations we've ever investigated, ever. And so, again, there was a connection made. This toilet, every 50 seconds, would make a sound, and it would be the sound of the toilet just moving water in and out of itself, the sounds the toilets make. I'm not a plumber, so I can't give you a technical name for it, but it would do this, and it was linked to the spirits. And the local newspaper actually did a story on this toilet, and Jim, the owner of Worcester Inn, God rest his soul, he firmly believed that the toilet in room 217 was haunted. And it was, we did an event there with another group, and during it I was talking to one of their members, and he went over and he took the top lid off the back of the toilet, and he was, you know, more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am, and he moved a couple things around, and he turned to me and he smiled, he said, "There, I fixed the haunted toilet." And it's funny, like, I put a camera in this room because it is, 217 was one of the more haunted rooms of the Worcester Inn. But every 50 seconds, I would hear the toilet. But they were convinced that it was something that was paranormal. And you couldn't talk them out of it. And the local newspaper even did a story about it. And it just, again, like, in a really haunted building, there were so many more interesting things that they could have, we could have focused on, or people could have focused on, but Worcester Inn, really haunted. The toilet in room 217, not so much. And trust me, we've heard it all, and anyone who's done any kind of paranormal investigation has had someone in a location or someone who has investigated a location link something, banging of pipes, creaky floors, you know, things like that, things that old buildings do. And, you know, we investigate at night a lot, so the temperature goes down in an old building, or perhaps even in your own home, when the temperature starts to go down, and wood, it affects pipes, it affects water. But nope, it's all the spirits. And, you have to handle that gracefully. You can't just be like, nope, that's not that. You have to be exercise a little bit of tact, which is why Emily is usually the one that does that, not me. But, you know, and look, this happens at events a lot. And I will say that when it happens at the paranormal events that we do, it's probably our fault. And the reason I say that is before we go in to do the location and to do the ghost hunt portion, we do show evidence that we have captured. We do talk about the spirits that we believe are there. So, you know, you can definitely accuse us of conditioning, because at events, people, you know, every little thing is chalked up to being paranormal or connected or a message, or this connects to this, connects to this. And again, it's just a matter of trying to make sure that we do a good job as investigators of saying, all right, this is actually what's going on, and this is not what's actually going on, and not everything is paranormal. Which leads to the question, why do we do this? Why do we have this urge to connect things that aren't really connected, or to attach some kind of cosmic link to things that aren't connected? And as humans, and this is amateur psychology, but as humans, I think it comforts us to try to attach meaning to events. For events such as earthquakes and eclipses, we have no control over that. And I think it eases us to think that there's some higher reason or purpose to them. It's part of the reason that if you go throughout history, and even, I mean, all the way back in human recorded human history, you'll find that people interpreted these events as omens even then. Comets, meteorites, eclipses, things that they didn't fully understand. It had to be a sign. It had to be something that a higher power was trying to say, was trying to let us know, to warn us, to good or bad. And going back and attaching significance to these things and some kind of symbolic reason gave comfort to folks who had no idea what was going on. Imagine, you know, being alive 3,000 years ago and witnessing a solar eclipse. They didn't even have the glasses. So I can't even imagine what they must have thought. So it had to absolutely terrify them. So yeah, there had to be some significance to it. This is God telling us something. Hey, wait, there's a new star in the sky with a stream behind it? It wasn't there yesterday? Oh my goodness. Well, that has to be a sign from the heavens of something good or something bad. I get it. I get why, as humans, we started doing that, because it had to have been terrifying to look at. I mean, we know what these things are now, and they're still awe-inspiring, to me at least. But as we continue and as we evolve as a species, or devolve, we continue to do this. I just think it's ingrained in us that we have to just make something everything. And honestly, you know, it's human nature to do that, and it won't be changing anytime soon. But you know what? Just remember, as Gertrude Stein said, sometimes a rose is a rose is a rose. So as I said in the opening, this week is our fifth anniversary of our first investigation as Orange County, New York Paranormal. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't like to self, I don't like to self-indulge and talk about ourselves all the time in this show. I do talk about our adventures and examples of things we've seen. But our entire first episode of the podcast talks about how we got to where we are. And, you know, the first experiences we had the first time. So I'm not going to rehash all of that. Please go back and check out. It's called Firsts. It's the first episode I ever did. I thought it was a good place to start, giving our background. But I did want to talk a little bit about it because, you know, I don't talk a lot about how long we've been as Orange County, New York Paranormal. Again, Emily and I were doing paranormal events long before this. I've been interested in the paranormal for, you know, most of my life. We just decided, you know, to branch out in 2018. We didn't start investigating until 19, but we decided to do this. And I don't talk a ton about how long we've been doing it. And the reason for that is because there are folks who think, well, if you haven't been doing this as long as I have, you're not qualified. And I hate to say it, but we've run into it. And I don't understand it. I don't get that at all. But we have had some pretty visceral reactions to things where it's like, well, why are you doing this event? You've only been doing this. I've been doing this for 23 years. Okay, well, you know, I've been a human for less time than you too, but I seem to have mastered that better than you have. That's what I think. It's not what I say. But at the same time, so yeah, I do shy away from talking about that because, yeah, 5 years is not a long time compared to some people who've been doing this in an organized way for a lot longer. But that being said, you know, I do want to acknowledge that, you know, this journey a little bit, and, you know, and you look back and you think about where did we come from and what we wanted to do and why we branched out in the first place. Cause you know, now we host these events but we used to attend all these events and we used to go to a lot of them. And there'd be a lot of people there of all different types. You have your, you know, just normal people who are fascinated, people who are aspiring investigators, people who were investigators, people who were mediums who wanted to go to a haunted location, and met some great people. But we decided that, you know what, we doing this is great, but doing this with 50 other people at the same time just wasn't for us. And plus, we would go to events and you know, the people running them would talk about their methodology. We do the same thing, and it just wasn't quite, you know, what we wanted to do. So we decided to do it ourselves and to branch out and do it alone and go after locations and, you know, and frankly with each other. I mean, my wife Emily and I do this together, and you know, it's weird because a lot of people our age, you know, on a Friday night or a Saturday night, they're doing other things. They're not hanging out in 200-year-old dusty buildings trying to talk to the dead. And honestly, it looked so good on TV for all those years. It did. It looked great. It looked like so much fun. And that's why we did this. And that's where Orange County, New York Paranormal came from. Emily did not like the name when I came up with it. And I don't think she still does, actually. We couldn't think of a better one, honestly. And I wanted to have some kind of professional sounding name. There's some group names out there that are wild. And some of them are great. Some of them are, there's some really good names, but I wanted some geography attached to it. I wanted to sound, at least sound professional. And my brother-in-law, Andrew, who does all of our web stuff, he also designed the logo he designed the main logo. I designed the button that I'm currently wearing on my hat. He designed the logo that's just above my head if you're watching this on the video. But, you know, and we kind of had all of this set up when we went out, but even all before. We had all of this stuff set up before we attempted that first investigation. And I've talked about that first investigation. We had no idea what we were doing. And the first couple, we had no idea what we were doing. But 5 years ago, we checked into the Hotel Utica, which is now a DoubleTree, and we checked into a room that was one of the most, you know, haunted rooms on the most haunted floor. I don't know how Emily got the specific room when it's now owned by Hilton. It's a little easier to do on a hotel, like it's not a chain, but she got it, and we hung out there, and we did our research, and, you know, we didn't know what we were doing, but it was fun, and we did what we did at first. We investigated the room, and then we slept in the room because we had the hotel room. You know, I went back and I looked at the evidence, and we actually caught quite a bit, but I didn't really have a system then, so I kind of just saved it as one 18-minute file, which not the way to do it if you're starting out. But it was fun. We got addicted to it. You know, our second investigation went to Burlington Prison, and then Emily gets pushed down the stairs. I thought that was it. But no, and it was. But that's not a great experience either. It's just the first couple were just so bad, and we had no idea how you know, what it was going to be like. But man, those first three, we thought, you know, I guess we thought you just walk in and they go, hey, paranormal investigators, come on in. No, that's not the case. The first couple places we went could not have cared less that we were there, and pretty much ignored us. And that was a surprise. But there were all other surprises there, too. And if for those of you who are investigators or are thinking of branching out on your own, there's some surprises that I want to prepare you for that you might not think of. First of all, it's so time-consuming. I mean, from researching the locations to the actual investigation to the evidence review, which if you investigate the way we do, where we use 6 or 7, you know, stationary cameras and handheld, you got to watch all that. It takes time, and you know, Emily and I both have full-time jobs, and so that's spare time kind of stuff, and it takes a long time. And it's not even just the reviewing of it, it's the isolating of the evidence, it's looking at it again. For us, it's doing the review with the people from the location, which we said from day one we were going to do. And weirdly enough, not enough groups do that. And then for us, I always publish an investigation video when I'm allowed. Residential ones are private, but most businesses or museums are perfectly fine with me making a video about their haunted location. So it takes a long, long time. I had no idea. I mean, these TV shows you watch, they have crews of, you know, 5 dozen people who watch it. I don't think Zach Bagans is sitting at his computer watching evidence. I don't think that's what happens. Well, in our case, the investigators have to review it, and in 99% of paranormal groups, that's exactly what happens, is we all have to review our own stuff. We have to produce our own stuff, and man, can it take time. I've said it before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, the biggest surprise has been the people we've met along the way. The evolution of our paranormal family has been interesting and fun and a huge surprise. Like, we have met folks who are like best friends of ours now through doing this. The first one that we really, first person we connected with was Jim Bulow, the owner of the Worcester Inn, you know, non-haunted toilet aside. Jim was the first one that actually took us seriously and gave us a chance. If it weren't for Jim, we wouldn't have continued. I think we would have probably went back to just doing the events and not trying to do it ourselves had Jim not taken such an interest in what we were doing and really bought into the way we were trying to do it and opened up himself, his location, to us. Special, special man. We would not be doing this still in the way we're doing it if it weren't for Jim. But you've seen most of the folks we've met along the way in our videos. Tim and Tracy Purcell, the owners of Grapevine Farms. I mean, they've become almost family to us. And, you know, they had no intention of, we were just another paranormal group coming into their location. And now look at them. They travel with us. They go to haunted locations with us. First time Tim heard his name over the Phasma box, he put his shirt up over his face. Now he's like, I'll go to that attic by myself. The evolution is amazing. More recently, Rhea and Margo. We met them through Museum of Wayne County History. Rhea was the director at the time. And when we said, you know, we always said we wanted the staff and the people there to investigate with us. And you'll notice, if you ever watch our investigation videos, that's what we do. We always have people with us because it's their location. We told Rhea, you know, she said that, you know, she can be in the office if we need anything. And we're like, well, you're welcome to investigate with us. And she said, you mind if I call my girlfriend? And she called Margo and came over, and they've investigated a ton with us. And, you know, we don't have members, really. We don't. I get emails for memberships a lot, and we don't do that. It's just sort of, it's Emily and I and the people that we want with us and the people that we love to have with us. And our paranormal family has evolved. Our real families have been involved. The most recent investigation we did, you know, that we're in the process of reviewing the evidence now, my father-in-law came with us. He did an investigation with us in Sharon Springs at a residence. my mother has been involved. She was at Hillview Manor with us. It's paranormal family, literally, in some cases. But it's been great to meet these folks and to really connect with people. So the living people has been a gigantic surprise in doing this, and something we didn't account for. And we're so grateful that it did, because it's not only made us better in what we do, but these people have also enriched our lives. And finally, a big surprise is how much we just love doing events. We used to attend these events, and I remember thinking to myself, man, I'm not sure I'd want to run one of these. And now October's my favorite month. I talked about this in a previous podcast, the evolution of my relationship with October. It's just so much fun. And you meet so many cool people and so many different kind of experiences. And people tell you about their paranormal experiences. And it's just great. Like, I love doing these events. And I never thought, I mean, in my professional life, I do a lot of public speaking. And I put together a lot of events and things like that. So it's not something that comes naturally to me after years of doing it. But I never thought it would be so much fun. It's a lot of work, but it is a lot of fun, and another huge surprise among several really pleasant surprises that have come along on this journey of ours. But with surprises also comes disappointment. There's been some things that have disappointed us. For those of you who are setting out, who want to do this, please listen to this and just be ready for it. I don't think it should dissuade you from doing it. But just be ready. First of all, if you're going to do this the way that we do, where it's just our team investigating a building, it's a lot of work to get locations. Now, if you're going to pay $1,000 to go spend the night in an iconic location, it's really easy. But if you try to, we like the smaller, more off the beaten path, the ones that haven't been investigated to death, the ones where the people running it actually care what you find, and they don't have a different group coming in every night. But it's so much work. And first of all, not everybody thinks you're legit. Some people think you're out to get them or out to scam them. I can't even tell you some of the harsh exchanges and responses Emily has received from places. They're actually local businesses we won't go to anymore because of how rude they were. It just tell us no. Like, I don't care if you don't let me in your place. It's your place. We're just reaching out because we've been told, hey, we've heard you're haunted. Do you want us to come in? But to accuse us of things and to call us names, it's just unprofessional. It drives me nuts. And yeah, there are local businesses we won't do business with anymore because of how rude they were in their refusal. There are places who've refused us that we happily still go to eat dinner because they were professional about it. Oh, no, thank you. We're not interested. Okay, perfect. Yeah, let us know if you ever are. But, you know, calling us shysters and saying we're out to scam them out of money, I mean, that's just ridiculous. Obviously, they've been scammed by someone down the road. But, man, we talked about time-consuming in the previous point, but I can't tell you the amount of time Emily spends researching locations, reaching out to locations. We actually did postcards a couple of years ago, and we sent out like 150 postcards, got one response. And that's it. You send out 100 emails, you get like 6 responses. 3 of them are no thank you. 2 of them are sure we'd love to have you, $1,200 for the night. And then the one might be legit. And to be honest, it's worth it for the one legit. We found some great locations doing that. But the amount of hours and the amount of just being ignored that can really, really hurt your morale. I know Emily gets very frustrated with it, but she's found some great locations. And the ones that say yes, it makes all the no's worth it when you get a location that is just amazing that you wouldn't have had if you didn't put in the time. But be prepared for a lot of no's. Hopefully polite no's, but they're not always polite no's. Trust me. I also have to say that the cash grab nature of some of the iconic locations was really disappointing to me. And that's a reason that if you look through our investigations, we haven't done a lot of them. Because frankly, you know, to do an investigation in some of these iconic locations, they want over $1,000. It's a lot of money, for us at least. And they don't actually care what you find. It's just, okay, $1,000 on a Monday, all right, you got your stuff, okay, next. Okay, $1,000 on a Tuesday, okay, next. They're not all like this, trust me, they're not. They are not all like this. But I've run into enough of them that it's just not worth it to us. Like, I'm not going to go spend that kind of money when, for the way we investigate, which is we want to further the narrative. We want to tell the story. Those places are for ghost hunters. Paranormal investigators, I would definitely recommend going to the smaller places. And frankly, most of the time, it's not worth the money. I'd rather give money to a museum to investigate there because it's fundraising for them, or to a historic location because it's part of how they raise money. Some of these iconic locations, it's just a business. And, and that's okay. It's their property. It's their right. They have to run their business. They have to keep it open. I get it. I'm a business person myself. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have to. They could at least not make it so obvious that that's all that it's about. And that's been really disappointing. And if you've listened to the podcast at all, it won't surprise you to hear me say that the last disappointment was the paranormal community itself. I don't know. Maybe we were just naive. We thought we'd run into a bunch of people like us, and instead we didn't. And we ran into, and there's great people in the paranormal community. Great people. It's just that there's this phrase that everybody likes to use called para-unity. Problem is, everybody does it their own way, and everybody has a different purpose for doing it. Whether they're trying to get on television, they're trying to get clicks, or they're trying to just be legit and get real paranormal evidence. There's no governing body. And, you know, we tried. I would go on these chats and these YouTube things and, you know, talk to other investigators. But it was all just like watching the TV show. Like, oh, a demon is here. A demon is there. Da, 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 da. It's like Satan's not in everybody's basement and not everything follows you home all the time. Just a lot of drama that we're not into. However, the good thing that came out of that disappointment has been this podcast. Because we wanted to find people that were similar to us. We know that they're out there. And they're definitely not online, a lot of them. But we created this podcast so that we could find people who kind of thought the same way we do, where this is a fascinating field. And we wanted to, you know, take the drama out of it and the judgment out of it and just talk about these phenomena and why they fascinate us so much. So, yeah, it was disappointing. I don't know what I thought it would be. It wasn't what I thought it would be. But at least this podcast came out of it, which we absolutely love doing. So at the end, what have we learned? How have we evolved? I mean, experience is useless if you don't evolve from it. And I think from my perspective, I think it's just that we've streamlined the whole operation. It used to take hours to set up like 3 cameras because we would have to take it all apart, put it all back together, take it apart again. And now we are a well-oiled machine. My OCD has absolutely taken over how we do this, how we do our equipment, how we investigate. We have a system and it's worked well for us. And we have a system, and Emily has a system on researching locations that has cut down on the time it takes. I have a system with our equipment that cuts down on the prep time that it takes. We've cut down, you know, and even evidence review, I have a system. It doesn't make it take any less time. It just allows me to find what I'm looking for down the road better, which saves time on the back end. We've just made it easier on ourselves. We've learned how to do this, and we've learned how it works for us to do it. And I think for us that's an evolution. I think every group goes through where you start out not having a clue what you're doing, like we did at Hotel Utica, where we had no clue at all what we were doing, and now we may not have a clue what we're doing, but at least we look good and the equipment's in the right place while doing it. We've definitely gotten better over the last five in everything. We know how to interpret feelings. You know, you'd walk in 5 years ago, we walk in a room and your hair would stand up on your arm and you'd be like, okay, maybe there's something here. We've gotten better at kind of feeling out energy. The more you do it, the better you get at it. You don't have to be psychic to feel energy and to get an idea of what kind of energy you're feeling. That's just the human body. But we've just made it so much easier on ourselves over the last 5 years since that first night. But I think our biggest takeaway in our first 5 years as Orange County, New York Paranormal has been that it is absolutely nothing. Paranormal investigation is nothing like you see on television. It's so much better. It's not the drama. It's not the scares. It's not all that stuff you see on TV. For me, and for us, it's the peace and the tranquility. There is nothing in the world that I have experienced that is like just letting a location exist around you. I do it multiple times during investigations. I will just pick a spot, I stand perfectly still. I close my eyes, and I just let it open. Eyes closed, ears, mind, and heart open. And I just let it exist. Let it kind of flow around me. And that's my meditation. I do this in every location. Usually right at the start, because I do an introduction right before we investigate anywhere, just to introduce ourselves to the spirits, let them know what we're trying to do, and you know that we mean no harm and that we hope they mean no harm to us. And I usually wait a couple of seconds and sort of soak it in before I give that preamble, which is kind of interesting for people who are not normally, who don't investigate with us all the time, because they're like, what's Dan doing? He's kind of just standing around. But I'm trying to get a feel for it. And you probably don't see a lot of those in the videos, because for the same reason you don't see that kind of thing on paranormal television. It's not that interesting to watch. It's an internal experience. But it's an experience that I have learned to appreciate over the years. I did not take the time to just let this be, let it be. I did not take the time to let locations be what they are back when we first started. Why? Because I was trying to capture evidence. I was trying to use the equipment. I was trying to emulate what I had seen on television and read about in books. But when I slowed down and really let the location be and let it exist around you, you find a connection to a place, to yourself, that you didn't know existed. And for me, at least, and I'm sure a lot of investigators feel this way, it's a very tranquil feeling, and it just fills you with a sense of peace. Which I know seems odd because we're standing in a haunted place, but I've never found any of this particularly scary, and that's not why we're in it. And we're trying to connect with spirits and learn more about them. And sometimes to connect with spirits, you got to connect with the place they reside in and put yourself in that place. And I recommend that if you are investigating or if you do events, next time just find a little spot and just put the equipment down, close your eyes, and just let it happen. Let the place exist around you. It is the most important thing that I have learned over the last 5 years, is to slow down. Because, you know, if you slow down and you know, spirits aren't in a hurry. What's time? We don't know how they view time at all. Slow yourself down. You'll get, you know, the evidence isn't everything. You have to feel it. You have to. That's how you understand a location. You have to feel it. Sometimes to feel it, you have to just slow down, put down the mel meter, and just let it happen. So I hope you enjoyed our trip down memory lane. I try not to be so like self-reflective. This is not a podcast where we just talk about ourselves. But I felt with the 5-year anniversary of our first, you know, Orange County or paranormal investigation, that it would be worth going back and just talking about some of the things we've experienced and seen and things we wished we knew. So if you are embarking on your own, I hope there's something in there that you find valuable. But basically what it comes down to is, look, we've lived and we've learned. The 5 years have taught us many things, but not as many as the next 5 years will hopefully teach us. You know, not everything in this world is connected, but we do believe that it's no accident that we fell into this life and into this field. We can't picture our lives without it. It completes us, and life without the paranormal just would not be normal. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.